the Lord. Galatians 2:20. I'd like to bring a message I have entitled The Crucified Life. I believe that is the life the Apostle Paul lived, and I believe it's the same sort of life that we all ought to be living. We ought to be living the crucified life. I don't think most of God's people are living the crucified life. Most of God's people don't know what the crucified life is all about. And that's why we'll end up with the crucified life. How long have you been saved? Have you been living the crucified life ever since the new birth? I don't know. 25 years, I've been trying to live the crucified life. Oh, I've been living the crucified life for 25 years. That simply means this: I'm 25 years dead. How dead are you? How long have you been practicing being dead? And so it'll start there. It could start tonight. It's a decision you've got to make. I wish I had time to talk about a living sacrifice. He wants a dead sacrifice, dead indeed, and to sin, dead indeed to living for yourself. But he also wants a living sacrifice, you see. But we've got to die. John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it die. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You want to bring forth much fruit. Do you want to? Do you want to influence this community? Yes. Do we want to do something for God because the Son of God has done so much for us? Tasted death, took upon Himself our sins, died in our place. And I would think that would be every child of God. Yeah. Amen. Then you've got to die. Die to what? What is it that we must die to? Die to your dreams, die to your plans, die to your ambitions, die to your goals, die to your car, die to your dog, die to the life you've made for yourself. And then Jesus said, my people will discover what the Christian life is about. Wow, we have so much dying to do. And so I hope you'll start today. If you've not done that, if you're not living the crucified life, I hope you'll start today and discover what the Christian life is truly all about. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I wish I had time to go into that. And whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. But not every child of God wills to follow Christ by his side, as his friend, as his companion. I don't understand that. It's available to every child of God. But not every child of God wills to do that because it requires denying self and dying to self. And then it involves walking with God. And as you walk with God, you see, it's a life of self-denial. It's a life of dying, but there's more to it than that. It's a walking beside the Lord. And as you walk with the Son of God, as you talk to Christ, as the Son of God talks back to you through His Word, through the Spirit of God, you are to obey Him. And that, I think that's where we have a problem. Obey Him immediately, sweetly, completely. And it's not just kind of like, you know, it's up for grabs. And no, that's, you can get as close to God as you want to. How close are you to God tonight? Draw nigh to God. So let's talk about the crucified life. Paul had been, let's see, if I were to take the time today to look at the life, if we were to take the time today to look at the life of the Apostle Paul after that man, a man, someone just like you, a human being, I mean, lived his life for the Lord. Now, what we would all stand in awe. at the life in which a man lived his life for Christ. He was used mightily of God. He magnified the Lord with his life. But before the man was saved, he was Saul. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. The Apostle Paul, Saul, was a devout enemy of Christ. Man, he's a scallywag. Kind of like us, right? Scallywag. Yeah. But the Apostle Paul, Saul, met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he was instantly changed. That's biblical. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ..." My friend, if you have been saved, you're a new creature. Why don't you act like it? You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It is inconsistent to call yourself a Christian and live a selfish life. Just don't. It don't work. And so, and I don't even have to go into all that. That's another whole sermon in itself. But how did he do it? How did a man live for Jesus? How did a man who was a blasphemer, a persecutor, we understand the fact he got saved, born again, on his way to heaven, but how did he live his life for Christ? What was the secret to Paul's life? The secret to Paul's life is found in Galatians 2:20, where the Apostle Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ." What did he mean by that? Well, we'll find out what the Apostle Paul meant by that. But he said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I." He said, "Folks, I died. I laid my life down so that something, so someone might live out his life and through him." No wonder he had the life. The Paul had such a wonderful life because he had no life because he allowed Christ to live out his life in and through Paul. Crazy. What's in it for Paul? You don't walk with God and serve Him because there's something good in it for you. You walk with God, you serve Him, you obey Him because He deserves it. If nothing good happens, no joy comes your way, you ought to walk with God because He deserves it. But what's in it for me? And so Paul lived his life for the Lord, and he shared it with us that we might have the same sort of life the Apostle Paul had. Praise God. Isn't that great? Good thing he didn't keep it to himself. Amen. I'm thankful. So we'll share with you something Paul shared some 2,000 years ago. The crucified life. I hope your heart is open and your walk with God will never be the same. So he said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul lived the crucified life. Brethren, you ought to be living the crucified life. If you want to be used mightily of God, if you want to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ with your life. Well, notice three things. Number one, crucified with Christ. Number two, Christ liveth in me. And then number three, I live by faith. How about you? Do you live by faith? We'll see about that. Lord, thank you so much for your love for us. Help me as I convey your word tonight. May I rightly divide the word of truth and be a blessing and encouragement to thy people, I pray in Christ's name. Notice number one, the crucified life. What did Paul mean by that? Look at Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. The answer is found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. Notice what Paul said. Galatians 5, 24, "And they that are Christ." If I hadn't seen it written down, I think he must have been talking to the unsaved folks. Because evidently God's people don't, it doesn't seem like it applies to us, but it does. He says, "Those that are Christ, those who are saved, born again, have what? The flesh. How good are you at crucifying the flesh? You ought to be better at it now than you were when you first got saved. It's like playing the piano. The more you do it, it just becomes a habit, a good habit. And so we're going to talk about what it is to crucify the flesh. And then he says, with the affections and lust.
What do you mean by that, Paul? What was Paul saying? He's simply saying this. A crucified man, a Christian who is crucified, is one who has put to death his own lust of the flesh. A crucified man is one who's put to death his own desires of the flesh. A crucified one who has put to death his own affections of the flesh. So let me ask you something. Okay, if that be true, what are those lusts of the flesh? We've got to find out whatever those lusts of the flesh, what are those desires of the flesh, what are those affections of the flesh? It's simple. Anything you love more than you love Christ is a lust of the flesh. Anything you love more than you love Christ is a desire of the flesh. Hang on now, hang in here. It's going to help you. Anything you choose to love, you do love more than you love Christ, is an affection of the flesh. And it is that simple. And to the degree that you choose to yield your life to that fleshly lust, to those fleshly desires, to those fleshly affections, to that same degree, you are now choosing to live what is called the self life, opposite of the crucified life. The crucified life is the life within the child of God who determines, by God's grace, I'm going to die. I'm going to die to my flesh. I'm going to die to my lust of the flesh. I'm going to die to my desires of the flesh. I'm going to die to my affections of the flesh. That is, I made a decision. I'm going to crucify my flesh. I'm going to crucify my flesh to those lusts. I'm going to crucify my flesh to those desires. I am going to crucify my flesh to those affections of the flesh. So, let me ask you another question. What do you love more than you love your Savior? What is it that you love more than you love Christ? Now, is there anything in all the world you'd not come up and lay down at the altar tonight? Anything in all the world you'd not give up for Christ? Any job? Is there any job you love more than you love Christ? Any career? Any hobby? Any sport? Any possession today you love more than you love the Lord? Is there anyone in all the world that holds greater affection than Christ Himself does? Now we're talking about your mom. Don't pick on mom. Hey. Any dad? Any brother? Any sister? Any aunt? Any uncle? Any grandma, any grandpa, any grandson, any granddaughter, any son, any daughter, any husband, any wife, any girlfriend, any boyfriend that holds greater affection than Christ Himself does. Anything in all the world meaning more to you than Christ does. Any dream, any plan, any ambition, any goal. Is there any feeling you love more than you love Christ Himself? That's what we're talking about. We all have an old sin nature. Right? You know what it says, right? We all have an old sin nature, an old flesh nature that has carnal lust, that has carnal desires, that has carnal affections. We cannot get away from that because it is part of our nature. So what was Paul saying? He's simply saying this, though you got one, though we all have one. Though you have an old sin nature, an old flesh nature that has carnal lust, that has carnal desires, that has carnal affections, the crucified man does not allow those to control him. They do not control where he goes. They do not control. The crucified man does not allow those to control him. The crucified man does not permit those to control him. Those lusts, those desires, those affections of the flesh. They do not control where he goes.
They do not control what he does. They do not control what he says. They do not control what he feels. Those lusts of the flesh, those desires of the flesh, those affections of the flesh do not control the crucified man, because the crucified man has instead crucified himself. That is, he's crucified those lusts of the flesh, those desires of the flesh, those affections of the flesh. So what was Paul saying? He's simply saying this, folks. I made a decision. I have nailed the old sin nature, the old flesh nature that I have, that I was born with, to the cross. I made a decision. There was a time and a place where I took the old sin nature, the old flesh nature that I have, I was born, I nailed the cross. And what he was saying is, I was giving up my rights. I've given up my dreams, I've given up my plans, I've given up my ambitions, I've given up my goals, I've given it all up, because Paul said, look, I'm crucified with Christ. Can that be said of you tonight? Have you laid it down at the altar of sacrifice? Have you nailed your dreams, your plans, your ambitions, your goals, your children, your family, your car, your house, your time, your money, your body? Have you all laid it all down? Have you given it all up because you too are crucified with Christ? The crucified life is the life that demands that Christ come first. Now we go back to Mark 8:34. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So what was Jesus saying? He was simply saying this. If you're going to come after me, if you're going to walk with me by my side, as my friend, as my companion, I've got to be first. If you're going to come after me, if you're going to follow me, I've got to be first. Now that would make sense, right? If you're going to walk with God, what? Hey, get back and eat. No way. Huh? It don't work. He said, I've got to be first. I've got to be first in your life. Come along. I've got to be first in your dreams. I've got to be first in your plans. I've got to be first in your ambition. I've got to be first in your goals. I've got to be first in your marriage. I've got to be first in your dating. I've got to be first in your home. I've got to be first in your business. I've got to be first in your church. I've got to be first in your standards. I've got to be first in your studies. He says, listen, I've got to be first. I got to be first in your life. Anything, and here it is, what's the problem? Anything that contradicts my will and your life, got to go. Period. I don't think we actually comprehend and grasp all that. But that should have started a long time ago. And you ought to be better at it. Somewhat. 5, 10, 25, 35, 40 years later, much better. And so, whosoever will, I've got to be first. I've got to be first in your life. Anything that contradicts the will of God in your life has got to go. And that is why a vast majority of God's children today will never live the kind of life the Apostle Paul lived. They're not willing to do that. God's people are not willing to give up whatever contradicts the will of God in their life. Therefore, they will never, ever live the kind of life the Apostle Paul lived. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31, the Apostle Paul said what? He said, I die daily. What was Paul saying? He's simply saying this, I die to myself and I nail myself to the cross. You say, preacher, what must I do? It's so simple. You need to nail your lust of the flesh to the cross. You need to remember, this is a decision. Now the hard part's over, hard part's past. What did we learn last night? No way! That's a decision. Now discipline kicks in. Discipline's a fruit of the Spirit. And you depend on the Holy Spirit of God to enable you to live the crucified life. This all goes back to God. But you've got to lay down your life, your dreams. So you need to nail your lust of the flesh to the cross. You need to nail your desires of the flesh to the cross. You need to nail your affection of the flesh to the cross. Tonight, you need to nail your dreams, your plans, your ambitions, your goals, your children, your family, your car, your house, your time, your money, your body to the cross. It's that simple. So as a believer, are you crucified with Christ? Well, you ought to be. You ought to be crucified with Christ. And there's still four reasons why you won't do it. Yeah. I hadn't even got to those. Can't do those either. But Jesus said four reasons why you won't do it. But so I hope you'll just go ahead and do it, and you don't really care about why or you won't do it. Just what's the problem? It's easy. Just get up, and say, I give it all. We kind of like that little room. We like everything, but this, Lord, you know, you divide our life in a little compartment. You say, God, you're supreme here, but you operate in different principles, and you kind of, but he says, lay it all open. Come walk with me. And he already knows. He knows how to get what you're trying to get, what you're trying to keep. And so the first step is you need to come and lay it down at the feet of Christ and say, Lord, I forsake it all. But now what happens the more you die? You know, this is not something that just happened, boom. Everything, you know, yeah, we did it and everything fine. No, about this, everything going to go badly. You see, as soon as you make a decision to live for Christ, live the crucified life, opposition from the enemy, the devil. And it's usually not the devil, it's probably the flesh. The flesh, and I was telling Pastor, and I'm listening, guys, and girl, I am nowhere close to what I'm just trying to share with you, trying to have us all have a greater walk, a closer walk with the Lord. That's all I'm saying. Because I'm more dead now, I've learned some things that help me. Now, my wife, and I was sharing with him last night, my wife does not like to be tickled. Not everybody likes to be tickled. Well, I love to hear my wife giggle. She has a sweet giggle. And I just bite her, and I just to hear a giggle, and then a tickle her. But she says, I hate it. Okay. It's kind of like, well, Glenn, what did you hear?
Don't do it anymore.
Well, why do you do it?
I should.
Yeah. Okay. And the same thing. See, we're, okay, now we're, I'm just saying it. So there's a, okay, I hate it, but I do it anyway, and she tolerates it. You know, because she loves me. Even with all my bad habits, you know, keeping the stool, guys, we never close the lid. And the girls, kind of, somehow or another, they kind of forgive us anyhow. And so, put up with us. And so, being more dead now than I was back then, it's really helped. Because I told her, I'll never tickle you again as long as I live. So a dead man don't have to tickle. Dead man don't have to have his flesh, his appetites, you know. Now the hard part's over. The hard part's past. No, no. And because my wife don't like to be scared. And I go, boom! I like to do that. And then you ever say, you throw a firecracker under somebody. That is so cool. I mean, immediately, firecracker. Boom! I thought, they look like they're going to take it. It is. You ever see anybody do that? But my wife says, don't do that. That scares me. And so every chance I'd get, I'd you did it? Oh, yeah, I'm a scallywag. But then I said, Debbie, I won't do it no more. So now I've got a dilemma. That's the easy part. I won't do it no more. Now there's the old sin nature and the new nature. I got the new nature when I got saved, and I got the old nature. And he says, go for it. And the new nature says, you don't want to do that. And then, you know how you like it. Uh-huh. Yeah, but she ain't going to like it. She'll get over it. It'll be a long week. Y'all don't have that going on? Man, y'all don't practice the presence of God enough. And so, but the decision's made. But now, discipline kicks in. And so she comes out with groceries. You ever seen a girl with grocery bags, can't do nothing? And she getting right. I know where the horn is on my car, man. It's so cautious. No, you don't want to do that. Yeah, not yeah. Mom! I wish I hadn't done that. Oh, man. Then you see your face, you know what I'm saying? Y'all in the same book? And boy, I tell you what, if you'd have cut me off, I mean, before I got saved, if you had cut me off as an unsaved man, I'd have took the shopping cart and put it in your windshield. Or at least stuck it in the side of your car. And I wouldn't have felt bad about it. Now I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven. I've got Christ living in me. And this year he went, ooh, like that. And I was in my cart and I stopped. My wife looked at me like, I said, dead man don't respond, Debbie. Now, she was looking. She was looking for him. Or she was looking, but she was expecting. But dead men don't respond. Dead men don't. You see what I'm saying? You say, that's just something you really work at all that stuff? Well, it's easier. It really does. The more you do it, the easier it gets. The next thing you know, you're doing out of Christ, live out his life, and he. And so what are we seeing? We're just seeing. So, Christ liveth in me. So let me ask you something. What takes the place of self-rule? The rule of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. What takes the place of the fleshly lust? What takes the place of the fleshly desires? What takes the place of the fleshly affections? The will of God. The will of God, folks. And so, Galatians 2:20, Paul writes, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So what was Paul saying? He's simply saying this, folks, I've learned something. I crucify my flesh, and in its place, I put Christ living out his life in and through me. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. That's it. Because I'm a dead man. For the only reason for me to inhale and exhale is that I might live for Christ. That's it. Well, you don't have any greater goal than that. Amen. It's easy to talk about it. Yeah, the only reason for me to inhale and exhale is that I might live for Jesus Christ. Is that? And so I hope you have the same desire. Can that be said of you today? The crucified life, and I'll explain. The crucified life is living in such a way that the Lord Jesus Christ lives out his life in and through you as a child of God. It's yielding to the Holy Spirit of God that you got the new birth, the Holy Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit of God does in and through you what he did in and through Jesus Christ. Okay, what do you mean by that? How did Jesus Christ, the Son of God, live his life on the earth some 2,000 years ago? You believe he was here, right? Oh, he's got that point. He was here. How did he do it? How did he live his life on the earth? How did he fight the devil? How did he fight temptation? Have you ever wondered about that? Well, the Bible tells us how he did it. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It's important you get that. How did Jesus Christ live his life on the earth some 2,000 years ago? How did the Son of God fight the devil? Hey, we got the adversary. How did he fight temptation? Huh? The Bible tells us that Christ did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you think we're going to do it? In the flesh, we gonna lose for sure. How did Jesus live his life on the earth sometime? How did he fight the devil? How did he tempt him? The Bible says he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus went out to fight the devil in the power of the Spirit. He went out to fight temptation in the power of the Spirit. And he returned in the power of the Spirit. You know I know that? That's in Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. You see, you read the book. Jesus returned in the power of Spirit. Here it is. When you are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God and not the flesh. See, there's a difference. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, the very same Holy Spirit that gave Jesus power will give the child of God power today. Amen. How then can you crucify your flesh? You know how you can crucify your flesh? You can crucify your flesh by walking in the Spirit. So let me, how good are you walking in the Spirit? He said, what's all that about? Boy, I wish I'll try to explain it the best way I can. And that's how it's done, walking in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so, got that done. So, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, the very same Holy Spirit gave Jesus Christ, how then can you crucify your flesh? You can crucify your flesh by walking in the Spirit. As a child of God, you ought to be crucified with Christ. That is, you ought to nail your fleshly lust at the cross. You ought to nail your fleshly desires at the cross. You ought to nail your fleshly affections to the cross. You ought to nail your dreams, your plans, your ambitions, your goals to the cross. You ought to be living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit just like Jesus did. Why? Y'all remember? So that the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is reproduced in and through all of us today as God's children. But how can we accomplish all that? And that's the number three point. Crucify the flesh. Allow Christ to live out. But how do we accomplish all that? Are you interested? Amen. That's number three. Paul's not finished with this yet. He goes on to say in our text, "And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So what was Paul saying? He's simply saying this. Here it is. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. And the way I do all that is I live by faith. Okay. The faith that the Apostle Paul is talking about here is the way you live your life. You ought to be living by faith. You can't please God apart from faith. And if there's anyone you want to please, it would be the Savior, right? Yes. Faith is a decision. It is simply taking God at His word. Simply trusting God. It's not a complicated faith in God. And we'll talk about that. And so, is that biblical? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible. It is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, the just shall live by faith. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Mark 11:22, Jesus said, have faith in God. That's good advice. You ought to have faith in Christ. He knows what he is doing. You don't know. He knows. Why then don't you trust him? Why don't you come and lay everything down at the feet of Christ and follow him? Let's follow him like no other generation before us. Oh, man. Sounds like take faith. Without faith, you can't please him. Still gets better yet. Question. How then can you be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? You can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, my friend, as you daily walk in simple faith before God. The Christian life is not seeking a feeling. The Christian life is not seeking an experience. The Christian life, folks, is simply walking by faith every day. Faith in God's ability. Get to know him. Faith in God's character. Faith in God's love for you. He loves you. Faith in God's providence, faith in God's sovereignty, faith in God's strength, faith in God's wisdom, faith in God's word, faith in God's power. Do you want to live the kind of life the Apostle Paul lived after he was saved, after he was born again? Amen. You say, preacher, I'd like that. I'd like to live the kind of life the Apostle Paul lived after he was saved, after he was born again. He was used, mightily of God. He magnified the Lord with his life. But how can I do that? How can I have the same sort of life the Apostle Paul had after he was saved? You're not going to like it, but it's available. If you want it, you can have it. It's available for every child of God in the room who is willing to do something. You ready? We can all have the same sort of life the Apostle Paul had when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and lay down our life beside him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust you with my life. I know it's a big step, but you can do it. You really can. About to cough. You can do it. Excuse me. I'm going to trust you with my life, Lord. When did you do that?
I'm going to trust with my life. I'm going to trust with my dreams. I don't know about you, but I want the same sort of life the Apostle Paul had. He says, well, are you going to let me trust you with your life, with your dreams, your plans, your ambitions, your goals, your marriage, your children, your family, your hearts, your time, your money, your body, your career? Are you? I was dumb enough to do that. Crazy, isn't it? But I had no clue. All I can share with you, come and discover a Christian life you've never dreamed possible. But I can't do it for you. All I can do is share. You've got to come and die. You say the hard part's over, the hard part's past? No. No. But it starts with the decision. The successful Christian life has made one decision after another. I'm going to share with you quick one reason you won't do it out of four, but don't have time to go into all four. I'm going to trust you tonight because I know you have a far better plan for my life. So you can live the same sort of life the Apostle Paul lived when you make a decision to come to Christ and lay down your life beside him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust you with my life. What life I have left. I'm going to trust my dreams, my plans, my ambitions, my goals. I'm going to trust with my ambitions. I'm going to trust with my life because I know you can do a far better job with my life and you can do a far better job of running my life than I can ever do. So I'm simply going to trust you with my life. Can that be said of you tonight, or do you fret and worry because you do not trust Christ? You don't trust in God to know what he is doing in your life. I'll not be doing that. It's not going to go down pretty at the judgment seat of Christ. You ought not be doing it. You ought to have faith in God. You ought to have faith in His Word. At least faith in His Word. Philippians 4:6. You know what it says in Philippians 4:6? Let me help you. Be careful for... He says, don't fret and worry. Too much fretting and worrying going on. Isaiah 26:3. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Then he says... Be careful for nothing. Don't fret and worry, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Psalms 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. 1 Peter 5:7. I love it. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for Norm. He loves me. He loves you too. Put your name in there. It's real. You know what? People come to me. I was going to share. You was missing talking about medicine and pills. People come to me with all kinds of problems. I can't have a doctor. I ain't no doctor. They come to me with problems, and they you know what? God, they want me to pray a little prayer and say, all heartache and pain going to disappear. Thing going to go okay now. It don't, you know, or a magic dust. Hocus pocus, aliocus, everything fine here. I said, y'all been watching too much cartoons. Something. I don't know. What are they showing on TV? I don't know. It don't work that way. Here's how it works. And God's people don't like it. I say, come to church faithfully. Read the Word of God daily. And when God tells you to jump, jump. Brother Stevens, isn't there a pill to take? Medicine, isn't that so sad? No, there's no pill to take. Come to church faithfully, read the Word of God daily. When God tells you to do something, do it. And you'll discover a Christian life you've never dreamed possible. But so it's just taking it as a word. He says, Joshua 9, have not a commanded son, Norm, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For I am with thee whithersoever thou goest. Except on Friday? He didn't say that. He said, I'm at Walmart too. I can't complain at Walmart. No, stop your complaining. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Then you go to James 4:17. Therefore to him that knoweth do good, knoweth not to him that sin. Then Psalm 66:18. If you regard iniquity in your heart, I won't hear you. If there's a sin in your life and you know it, and you're not willing to confess and forsake it, you can... And that's with my walk with the Lord. So how's your walk with him today? Do you know him?
And how well do you know him? And you can get to know him as good as you want to, remember? We're talking about a greater walk, a closer walk with the Lord tonight. It's a lot of work. You say it's work. It's not. It gets easier. It really does. Hebrews 13:5, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I love Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are called according to his purpose. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, Son. I'll not tempt you. You'll not be tempted above that you're. He won't tempt anyone, but I won't. You won't be tempted above that you're able, except he give me a way to escape, so that I might be able to bear it. Do you see how real it is? It's just not. It's not. It's a life. It's a walk. It's putting what you know here, lined up with what you say, and all. And that's what we need to do. I grew up. I'm growing up in a. People are saying, I didn't even know you're supposed to follow me as I follow Christ. I finally found it in the book. Paul said, do that. And I said, well, why don't they do that? He said, do it. And so, like mom and dad, you ought to say to the kids, follow me as I follow Christ. Setting a godly example. And God's the preachers today, men of God, need to stand up in the pulpit and stop saying, do as I say and not as I do, and say, follow me as I follow Christ. Can you imagine? We're talking about a change. That's a change right there, buddy. You ought to put me in the White House. We talking about a change, buddy. Woo-hoo-hoo! I wouldn't last long up there at all. It wouldn't be no aeroginational ball or whatever that thing is, I tell you that. We give that to somebody else, but okay, then went to Midland. Okay, brethren, you ought to have faith in God. You ought to have faith in his word. Have faith in Christ. He knows what he's doing in life. Simply trust God and know what he's doing in life. Do you know why some of you are afraid to consider walking with God? Oh. You don't think God knows. You don't think God knows how to walk. He certainly don't know how to walk with you. You see, you don't think God knows how to run your life. You think he's going to mess up your life. You know why some of you are so afraid to consider going to some foreign field? Let's take Africa. Dark Africa. Woo. Burn. Got to eat worms the rest of my life. I ain't going. And I tell folks at this point, you don't want to go to Hawaii. Why does everybody want to go to Hawaii? I tell you, Jimmy, it's an island. You know it's an island? It's out there in the middle of the Pacific. You know, Earth hiccup. You ever seen the Earth hiccup? Right over the thing. Whoosh you right off. Ow! Why would you want to go to Hawaii? Man, I'd go to Kansas. Kansas. Get in the middle, buddy. See how crazy. Why is that? Why are you so scared? One reason you're scared. That's one of the reasons out of four you don't do it. You're afraid he's going to mess up your life. You know why somebody's so scared about your finances? You're scared to turn over your finances to the one. I mean, he knows how to run finances. I mean, his way of running finances is different than the way you run your finances. I'm telling you. He said, cut up your credit cards. I said, I don't think you're talking to me. I got to my wife. I said, help! Hey, God want me to cut up credit cards. No, I mean, don't want to hurt anybody. Go back and make sure you're in there. You ought to heard that conversation. Yeah, his ways are different, folks. And so, you know why some of you are so afraid about your life? You're afraid that you don't think God knows how to run your life. How foolish you are. How you must anger God. Did you get that? I said that. I'll have to get an account for that. How you must anger God when you do not allow Christ to have complete control, rule, and reign over your life. God knows how to run your life. Amen. He was running lives a long time before you got here on planet Earth. He'll be running lives a long time after you're gone. He has always done a good job. Now, folks, he has never made one mistake. Amen. Why then don't you get up and walk down the aisle and lay down your life?
That ought to bother you.
Don't you think? You say you done gone too far. This is my last night. I might not come back. You might tell me you shut up. But
I'm just saying, you're my brothers and sisters. One reason I'm here tonight is because I love you. My wife is in Florida.
Yeah. Now, she called me yesterday. That's where I'd be today. I wouldn't be here. I know you didn't like that either. But I made a commitment to her before I made a commitment to come here, and I'd have been in Florida. And she knows that. And because she knows that, she says, go fulfill our commitments, Norm.
It's so cool. Okay. Why won't you do it? Let's get to God knows how to run your life. We ought to talk. Why didn't you trust him? God never fails. So look at the life of Job just a few minutes. We got a couple more minutes. Job says, I don't know what's going on in my life right now. I don't know what's happening to me right now. Everything going wrong. As soon as you make up your mind to live for God, everything go wrong. I know. My life is an absolute mess. I don't understand it. I've lost all my children, Lord. You going to trust me, Norm? I've lost all my earthly wealth. My body's an absolute mess. I have boils from the sole of my foot and my crown. My wife is Kelly, curse God and die. Yet in all that, you know what he said in Job 13:15, one of my life verses? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But folks, you're going to look at, I'm going to maintain mine own ways before him. I'm going to do right regardless. I'm going to do right and good in the sight of the Lord regardless of the circumstances and situations in life. Is that biblical? Deuteronomy 6:18. Thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. He didn't say as long as everything went smoothly. It's not going to happen. But we have the promises of God to rely upon. We have the Bible to direct us. Remember, we talked about that on Sunday. We have the promises of God to rely upon. We have the grace of God to support us. We have the supply of omnipotence. We have the wisdom of omniscience. Hey, Brother Stephen's got the guidance of omnipresence. And if you're a child of God, you have the same thing. The very same thing. Is it becoming more real to you? A greater walk. Get to know him. What was Job saying? He's simply saying this, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to trust my dreams and my plans and my ambitions and goals. I'm going to trust in my marriage, though my wife tells me to curse God and die. That took a lot. I'm going to trust you with my life, and I'm going to keep on doing what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, regardless of the circumstances. I'm going to do what's right, though everything seems to be going wrong. I mean, are you settled that much? So you got to make a decision now, because as soon as you make a decision to practice the presence of the God in your life, live for God, do right, and all these kind of things we've been talking about, opposition. You're gonna not make one step forward for God, for the devil does not send some of his demons to oppose to what you're doing for God. He's going to oppose your decision to walk with God. He's going to oppose the decision to pursue the will of God. He's going to oppose your decision to get to know God better. Living for God and opposition from the devil go hand in hand. The Son of God was opposed every step of the way. And if you step out by faith, I'm going to tell you, he's going to do everything he can to oppose you. He's a wicked enemy. He's the enemy of God, child of God, Son of God, enemy of all truth. We've already covered that on Sunday. Let his word abide in you. Don't let it go. And use it as guardrails to keep you in the way, so that when the opposition, well, I mean the fiery darts and things, you can stand and then still be standing when it's all over. So he was saying, I'm going to do right. Though everything seems to be going wrong, you got that resolve. Though everything is an absolute little mess. Though I lost all my children. You lost all your children tonight. You still going to serve God? You better make up your mind right now that God is good. God never makes mistakes. God never fails. And a faith that can't be tested, can't be trusted. Though I pray and don't get any answers from God, though my body's in the hospital, I'm going to trust in my life because I know you have a far better plan for my life, and you do a far better job of running my life than I can ever do, so I'm going to simply trust your life. Can that be said of you today? Or do you fret and worry because you do not trust the Lord? You do not trust God. You do not have faith in Christ.
because you don't have confidence in Christ. You have faith in God? Confidence in God? You say you ought not, because you do not have faith in God. And I says, can that be said? You know, you fret and worry because you don't trust God, because you don't have faith in God, you don't have confidence in God. You ought not be acting that way. We as God's people, we ought to have faith in God. We ought to have faith in the Word of God. Confidence in God. Job did. Job had confidence in God. Job had faith in God, faith in God's ability, faith in God's character. And Pastor and I was talking, he didn't have the Bible, folks. What a man. We can go back and make sure we heard it just right. Oh, man, that is great. Yeah, it's in the book. And so faith in God's ability, faith in God's character, faith in God's leadership, faith in God's love, faith in God's providence, sovereign strength. Job came out on the side. Okay, what was the secret of Paul's life? See, I'm going to put it up. Now I'm going to finish everything up from memory. Help. You see, it's real. What was the secret of Paul's life? Remember, the secret of Paul's life is a man, just like you, made a decision to live the crucified life. Those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. He lived the life that was crucified to his lusts of the flesh. He lived the life that was crucified to his desires of the flesh. He lived the life that was crucified to his affections of the flesh. He lived the life that was yielded to God, the Holy Spirit of God, which allowed Christ to live out his life in and through him. He lived a life characterized by faith. The man had faith in God. He had faith in the Word of God. He had faith in Christ that he knew what he was doing in life. Is that the way you're living your life this evening? Is that the way you'd like to live your life? Are you living a life crucified to your lust of the flesh? Are you living a life crucified to your desires of the flesh? Are you living your life crucified to your affections of the flesh? Are you living a life that is yielded to the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you, which allows Christ to live out his life in and through you? Are you living a life characterized by faith? Do you have faith in God? Do you have faith in his word? Do you have faith in the Son of God that he knows what he is doing in your life, simply trusting God? You say, man, this is a lot to chew on. Well, just step out by faith. Let God have his way with thee. Why won't you do that? Why won't you come and walk with God? Why won't you come and lay down your life? First reason, you're scared. I'm afraid, Lord, if I lay down my life, you're going to mess it up. I have some things I want to accomplish. I have some things I want to do. Whatever it is, mammon, lust, greed, popularity, what happens? God isn't happy with you. The flesh is never going to be satisfied. Remember, the flesh does not want limitations. The flesh does not want to be denied. The flesh wants to rise up and be your boss. Jesus says, lay down your life. Let me be the boss. Now you know the secret. You know the truth. Are you living a crucified life? As a child of God, you ought to be. You ought to be living the crucified life if you want to be used mightily of God, if you want to magnify the Lord with your lives. I'm not saying he's not going to use you in his service, but he'll not use you to the full extent. He wants to use you today in his service. And the choice is ours. No way. Finish. Yeah. Living for Jesus, a life that is. I don't even remember the rest of it. I think I was in the book. I like that one. I don't know if Pastor had one already, but why don't you come? Are you living the crucified life? You said, I've not done that. I've not made a decision. I haven't started. I don't know. Well, why then don't you trust him? What are you hanging on to? That little thing you're hanging on to, remember I said that lust of the flesh, desire, the affection of the flesh, anything you love more than your Christ, dream, car, mother, dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, whatever it is. Well, that's the thing you need to come and lay down. Give it all. How about we do